We are happy you tuned in to us for Take Time for Jesus. We would like to thank those who have helped us with the financial blessing. And at the end of this broadcast, we will give you our email address where you can email us or the P.O. Box so you can write us. God bless you. Here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Praise the Lord. It's time that we take time for Jesus. If folks would take time out of their daily work and their daily chores and they're just their daily living and take some time out to give God some praise and glory for the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. I believe the world would be a much better place, but nevertheless, people have got time for everything but for the Lord. And he tells us that we should seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then the other things would be added unto us. But nevertheless, we need to look into the scriptures and find that we're coming short simply because of our attitude that we have about things and our things that we desire in the flesh, and looking at the pleasures of life more than looking to the coming of our Lord. And we need to take into consideration that there's going to come an end to all of this that is we presently know. And all the signs that we see in happening, even with NASA over there and showing through their telescope of the things that are happening in the heavens that we have never known before or seen, are coming to pass, as the scripture says. So we need to understand that we're living in the closing of this age, and that the Lord is soon to come. I know that people have heard it for years and years, and I also myself. But nevertheless, if we would believe what the scripture says and read your Bible, as I often try to get you in to persuade you to do so, and you said by the signs of these things that we know that the coming of the Lord is nigh, and we're seeing these signs, my friend, that even to Jesus spoke about 2,000 years ago, we're seeing this coming to pass. As often as I've said it and as others said it, take heed to know that your soul is in jeopardy if you don't call on the name of the Lord. It's them that are been born again is going to reap the blessings that God has promised us of eternal life. And them that fear not the Lord, and them that does not call upon him, does not repent and continue in their own ways of life, doing whatever they decide they want to do for the pleasures of the flesh and the living of ungodly ways, they're going to suffer the consequences of hell, of their eternal damnation. So it's up to you, my friend. I pray that you will soon understand the language that is in the Word of God, and that the preachers, as myself and others, are preaching and letting you know and warning you that the signs of the end of time is here upon us, and we need to be prepared for the coming of the Lord. And the only way that you can be prepared is to repent, turn from your sinful ways, and turn unto the Lord Jesus and give him praise and honor and giving him the glory that he deserves, because he deserves it all. And you and I are just worms, according to the Bible. We're worms. The earth is our mother and our sister. And as Paul said, oh, this wretched that I am, who will save me from the things? The only one the salvation comes from is through Jesus Christ. So, my friend, be therefore warned, as often as you've heard it, as often as you have heard it, you will have no excuse if you go by the wayside and fall into destruction because of stubbornness and hard-headedness and putting off the salvation of your soul until another convenient time, which a lot of people think that they can do. But what more time is convenient? Today is a day of salvation. Tomorrow, you and I haven't got the promise of, neither has anyone else. So today is a convenient time. So I pray that God will touch your life in a way that you will turn to him and calling upon the name of the Lord, repenting, and therefore living as the Bible tells us to, as Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Sheep needs a leader, and Jesus is the chief shepherd. there's a lot of these people who the preachers are standing in behind pulpits is not really concerned about shepherding. They're not leading the sheep. They're just having a good old gay old time or whatever. And they look and they do things that are trying to make the people laugh and everything, or build a big memorial to themselves or something or another. But follow the scriptures. Lean upon the Lord Jesus Christ for the understanding of them, and you'll not be caught short of it, but you'll be rewarded with the reward that he promised us, eternal life. So as we think about it, let the Lord lead and direct you. Repent and come unto him, looking to him to be the author and the finisher of your faith. You won't go wrong. So my wife's here now. She's got something other for you. But so the Lord bless you and have you the ear to hear and a heart to receive. And God bless you and keep you.
Well, we greet you today in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for this opportunity that he's given us to share with you what the Lord has laid on our heart. And we pray that you'll be blessed by what you hear. And as we say all the time, you know, that to read your Bible, that's the only way that you're going to know what is going on. People can tell you, but unless you read the Bible and you can discern it for yourself, if you have the Holy Ghost, he said he would lead you and guide you into all truth. And as we enter these last days, we need to read the Bible more and to get a closer walk with Jesus Christ. And I want to share with you today what the Lord's laid on my heart. And there's a lot of scriptures, so if you've got a pencil and paper handy, it would be good to write the scriptures down. And if you don't, if you email us at ecompton31@yahoo.com, we can give you the scriptures or whatever we have here to share with others. But the day of the Lord is coming. This is a command from God not to be lightly disregarded. It is universal, for it includes all men, everywhere. It is a solemn warning that the day is coming when every person will be judged for his personal relationship to Christ. And the pledge of its fulfillment is the fact of his resurrection, for Christ did not die in vain. Salvation is personal and individual. Jesus did not die to save society, but to save sinners. He was made in the likeness of man that he might take the place of each one of us upon the cross and bear the penalty of our personal guilt. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made himself to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The historic fact that Jesus came once in accordance with prophecy is proof that he will come again in accordance with prophecy. For both advents are included in the same prophecy. 7 centuries before Jesus was born, Isaiah promised that he would come. In Isaiah 6:61-2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and day of vengeance of our God. Isaiah saw the two advents in line like distant mountain peaks and could not distinguish the time interval between them. But when Jesus read his divine commission from his prophecy in the synagogue at Nazareth, he stopped with the words, "the acceptable year of the Lord," and closed the book with, "the day of vengeance awaits his second advent, when the world will be purged by fire." At his second advent, Christ is coming for his own, that they may escape God's judgment on sin. For our God is a consuming fire. The present interval between these two advents is a day of grace in which we live now and choose our eternal destiny. His first advent brought salvation to sinners. He is coming again to take out of the world those who in their lifetime obeyed God's command to repent and received his Son as their personal Savior. God's promise to believers in every age since Calvary is that in 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." There can never be world peace because men must first be reconciled to God before they can be reconciled to one another. 1 John 2:15, the world system is essentially evil because Satan is that. And in 1 John 2:15, "If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Christ is the Prince of Peace, for we are reconciled to God through the blood of the cross that covers our sin." Salvation in Christ does not come by merely repeating after someone, but by personal experience of his indwelling presence. 1 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." Jesus said in John 3:3, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." We are born into this world individually, one by one. We are likewise reborn spiritually, one by one. It is a transforming experience whereby we go to Calvary with our Lord and henceforth see life from the standpoint of the cross. In his final prayer in the garden on the night of his betrayal, Jesus said in John 17:9, "I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine." Christ is the hope of the world in this age of grace while he tarries and the Comforter abides. In Acts 4:12, "There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And that is Jesus Christ. When God commands an appointed, the appointed day is sure in which all will be judged by their relationship to Christ, the question of supreme importance for us as is, "Will I be found on the victory side of the cross when Christ returns for his own?" And I am here to say, as I say all the time, repent, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late, and tomorrow may never come. And I have a little track that a friend of ours has gone on to be with the Lord that he used to put out, but it's "Predestined for Hell." How many people fold their arms and say, "If I am one of the elect, I will be saved. If I'm not, I won't. No use bothering about it." The Lord Jesus must have known how men were going to stumble over this doctrine of election. So after he had been 30 or 40 years in heaven, he spoke to John one day on the Isle of Patmos. Said, "John, write these things to the churches." John started writing, and he kept on writing. Then when the last book was finished, the Lord said, "John, before you close the book, put in one more invitation." In Revelation 22:17, "The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." That doesn't sound like anyone is predestined. No. The Lord wants whoever will be saved. But the controversy is still on. Are there some who can never be saved? born to be damned by God's own choice? That philosophy was taught by John Calvin and collapses under an honest study of the words of God, the Scripture. When someone asks Spurgeon, "Why don't you just preach to the elect?" it is said that he answered, "You tag them, and I will." America had better be careful. The highways of history are strewn with the wreckage of the nations that forget God. And we invite you to go online to www.phoenix.com. Take time for Jesus. You can go on there 24/7. And as I said before, we need someone to write to us, send an email, and just take a time out from your busy day when you're texting. Just go into ecompton31@yahoo.com. Tell us what you think about it. Tell us what you don't think about us. That's all right. We pray about it. And if you got a prayer request, send it to us and we'll pray and ask God to deliver those that are lost, that needs a loved one saved. We are here to pray for you. And today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may not come. Jesus said, "Except you repent, ye shall likewise die in your sins." And if you've got a red letter Bible, it's in Luke. And here's Brother Compton. May God bless you. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, friends, we look into the times and we hear a lot of preachers preaching the same message that we have preached to you over and over again. Myself personally cannot emphasize or say it too much to warn the people of the things that are coming across the land and tell them about the events that are transpiring in even our very day that the Lord spoke about, and that it is right here on us. All these events have been told 2,000 years ago or better by the prophets of old and by the Lord himself. And he made mention about these things. And when you see the signs, these signs coming and upon us and everything, he said, you know that this generation won't pass away until all things be fulfilled. Well, we see in the signs that he was speaking about, as it was in Noah's day, there was sin, all kinds of whatever was doing, man decided to want to do. The Lord said, even to the wickedness of man, it repented him that he even made man. But he found Noah, found the grace in the sight of God, and him and his family were saved by the flood. But now, friends, the only way that we're going to be saved by the destruction of this world is by the grace of God through faith in the shed blood of Calvary at Jesus shed for you and I to cleanse us from our unrighteousness. There's only one way we can do it, and that's repent, as my wife said. Repent, coming unto the Lord Jesus Christ, as Peter told them there on the day of Pentecost. In Acts 2:38, repent and being baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. He also said that this was the sign that was given there that Joel spoke about in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Well, my friend, them days has done come back when there at Peter. So we've been in the last days for some time, and the gap between the two peaks of the mountain that we're living in today is just about to come to the top of the peak of the second mountain as to when God's going to pour out his wrath upon the people that are disillusioned by false teachings and false prophets and by things of the world that would bring forth sin and bring forth destruction upon them. So we need to understand. That's why I encourage you, read the Bible. Don't take my word for it, or no other man's word. I understand that there's a lot of preachers that are preaching the same gospel. They're reading the same words, but still in all, you need to read it for yourself. You'll get a better understanding out of it if you read it for yourself and believe what it says. Now, some people have come up and said, oh, some man wrote the book and just for people to do good. Well, that man's a liar and the truth ain't in him. because it was wrote by the prophets of old, by the patriarchs. Abraham and them wrote it as the Spirit of God moved upon them and told them what to write. And so they wrote it unto you and I in the book that we call the Bible, for yours and my benefit, for the soul of man. God loves man. It's not his desire that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. It's the sin that man has fell into and all the things that bring forth destruction upon his soul that God doesn't like. He doesn't like the sins of this same-sex marriage and everything. It's not the soul that he doesn't like. He came and died for them, but if they're mind to disillusion themselves, but the devil has, of the God of this world, the devil has disillusioned them and told them lies, and they believed it. He said he would turn them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie, and that he would be damned. God never made this world in the way that his went. He made it to be where it would be, therefore, a Garden of Eden, you might say. But because of sin, it's become a garden of destruction. It's come to be briars and brambles and all kinds of problems. So we need to turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to accept his teachings. We need to call upon him while that there is time. Noah told them for 120 years that it was going to come a flood, but they didn't believe it. Now, there's been a lot of preachers and preaching since I can remember back when I was a lad that they told about the coming of the Lord. And some people have heard it, and I have too, but that does not nullify the fact that it is going to come, and it is upon us. We see the things that Jesus spoke about, the days of Noah, the days of Lot. They're here, my friend. And if you read your Bible, you'll see that these things are upon us and the coming of our Lord is drawing nigh every day. The time of repentance is at hand. For the Lord is going to come whether you or I repent or not. He's going to come. But them that love his appearance and repent and come unto him and repent of their sins and come to him with love, and he's going to bring forth from sin unto salvation. But to them that fear not him and continue in their own ways, seeking the pleasures of life and doing whatever the flesh desires to do, whatever the god of this world puts in their minds to do, and they do it, whether it's kill somebody or rob somebody or forsake the assembling together with the God in the place of worship and doing all these things contrary to what the scriptures is teaching us, he's going to come and it's going to be disastrous for them that fear not the Lord and that them is forsaken his ways and turned from him and into the things of the world. My friend, it's time we got right with the Lord. It's time we begin to understand that the days are numbered, and the numbers are going fast, pretty fast. If you look about, it used to be years and years ago, it seemed like you could get up at daylight, and it seemed like 2 days gone by before the sun went down. But now it seems like you get up, and no more than you turn around twice, and it seemed like the sun's going down. So time is passing by pretty quickly. We've got everything is instant, everything is already prepared, and everything like this. God's already got prepared for them that love him and his appearance. And he's going to come one day and take his bride away. A lot of people just got confused about the coming of the Lord and his second coming. When the Lord comes in the clouds of glory, my friend, he's coming for his bride. He's not going to put his foot upon the earth. But his second coming is going to be when he puts his foot on Mount Olive and it caves away. And then he comes and prepares the battle. It's going to be fought with Armageddon. And he's going to destroy all the things that are ungodly. And he's going to put them all in hell. Even to the devil himself is going to be cast along with the false prophets and all them that love not God and his appearance. So as Ezekiel was told there that he put him a watchman on the wall. And he told him to warn the people of the sword that's coming upon the land. Friend, that's what not only I, but others will teach you and preach you the word of God. And the time that we're living in now today is trying to warn you to flee from the sword that's coming upon the land. Because the Lord's going to come, and he's going to bring forth the sword, and he's going to cut, divide, and cut asunder, and all them that doesn't heed to the call that has gone out to come unto him. As my wife said a little bit ago, he said that you come, he that is athirst, let him come. All that will, let him come and drink of the waters of life freely. If you don't come to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept his atoning price that he paid for your sins there at Calvary, when the high priest had to take the blood of the lamb that was sacrificed in and put it in behind the veil of the holiest of holies and put it on the mercy seat of God. And then when he had done all this, he come and he took his hands and put it on a goat that was outside and sent the sins away. But my friend, Jesus became our high priest. And he himself entered in through his own veil, the blood that he shed for you and I, and put it on the mercy seat. And therefore, he has paid yours and my sin price. And it's then he can require of you to repent. He says to repent. Except you repent, you will in all likewise die in your sins. He told Israel that. And they were supposedly to be, as the scripture says, he chose them out of all the other nations on the world at that time when he told Abraham that to go out from amongst his people and he would into the place to where he would show him, and he chose Israel. There were 70 souls went into Egypt bondage, where there was over 6 million of them come out, or 6,000, a crowd came out, 6 million of them, I believe it was, that came out of Egypt. But my friend, he told Abraham that he would make him the father of many nations. At one place he said, to look in the stars and see if you can number them. To the sands of the sea, can you number them? They'll be as the dust of the earth. Well, there's been a lot of them that's gone by the wayside, as it well has been of other nations too. But my friend, it's coming a time that God's going to require all men to pay for their sin debt. He's going to require these things upon people that have sinned and against him and his nature, and they've come against and even sinned against the flesh and the things that God has made an abomination in his sight that is sinful. He's going to require, and they're going to pay the consequences. My friend, Ezekiel was told to warn the people, and that's what preachers as myself and others are telling you about these things that are coming upon the land, is trying to warn you to flee from these things. Be prepared at the coming of the Lord, and therefore you won't be caught up in the destruction, but you'll be carried away in the bride of Christ to be joined with him in the commonwealth of Israel and be their heirs to glory through Jesus Christ. That's the only way you're going to make it, my friend. But when God told Ezekiel, if he failed to warn the people, then those that was carried off and not fled from the things that's to come, from the sword, they died in their sins. In other words, their blood would be required upon his hand. Ezekiel didn't fail, my friends. He warned us, as the preachers today are warning you to flee from the wrath to come. And if you don't flee from it, your blood's going to be on your own hands, but it's required of preachers of today to warn you. And if they fail to warn you and you get caught in your sins and perish, their blood be required at his end. My friends, I don't want your blood to be lost, be upon you or upon me. I want you to have the plan that God has laid out before us by reading his word and find out that through him you can have salvation. Through him is the only way that we can enter into the kingdom of God, by repentance and looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ, to the author and finisher of our faith. He is our high priest. He is the one that carried the blood that put it on the mercy seat for yours and my sin. He's the only one that we can call upon. The only name given among man is Jesus. He is the Christ, the anointing of God. He was God in the flesh. He came in the flesh to die for you. It's been impossible to God being a spirit, an invisible God, that Jesus put a face on. It would have been impossible to nail that to the cross. But when he came in the likeness of man and in flesh, he came to prepare himself a body to die for yours and my sin. So Where are you going to? You're going to accept the warning that's been given out, or are you going to go on in your facetious ways, doing whatever the old desires of the heart that has you to do, fulfill the lust of the flesh, and doing all the sinful things that a man can be capable of doing, and do all these things that God has forbid us to do and told us not to do, and hating your neighbor and doing things against one another is the world seems to be doing today? Are you going to turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you going to repent? Raising your hand and repeating after somebody else, honey, don't get it. It's got to be down there with a humble spirit and a broken heart, crying out to the Lord for salvation, repenting, turning from your sins and not committing sin anymore. But if you just raise your hand and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, and then walk the same old road, you ain't done nothing but wasted your breath. So it's time to realize. Ezekiel told them warned, they taken heed, their soul was saved. Their life was saved. But now them that didn't take heed and they was died in their sins, they'll be judged accordingly. My friend, it's time we take a real good look into the scriptures. You've heard the story before, I'm sure, time in and time out. I have, and I'm sure you have if you listen to the TV and some people and the radios and things. And if you ever taken time to read your Bible, we're living now in the times that Jesus spoke to the people in Matthew 24, and he spoke to them there and telling them about the things that's to come upon the land and the things that was to be preceding the coming of the Lord. And then he spoke about the tribulations in the 29th verse. He spoke about that. We're living in these days. These things that are happening over in the around about the world, these terrorist organizations that arose up here in the past a little bit here and killing people and beheading people and all this here. This is part of the tribulations. And if you think this is bad, my friend, and if you don't repent and be here when the wrath of God be poured out upon this sinful world, then you're going to think that that was just a mere walk in the park with the tribulations comparison to the wrath of God. Because people are saying, oh, the day of the Lord is going to be great. His coming to catch his bride is going to be a glorious time for them that love the Lord and his appearance and his bride, as he calls it. And he comes to take away up out of this old world. Out of them that are dead in Christ shall rise from the grave, and them that remain to be alive will be changed, and they'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and there they shall forever be with the Lord. But when he comes back the second time with his bride, you might say, with them that are faithful upon the white horse, he comes to do battle. If we'll notice that history teaches that when a king come into another place riding upon a donkey, he came in peace. But if he came on a charging horse, he came to do battle. And he's coming back one day out of the domains of heaven. And he's going to come and split the sky open on that white horse. And them that are with him are faithful and true. Them is his bride. And he's coming to put his foot on Mount Olive. And it's going to cave away and make a opening there in the valley there in the Battle of Armageddon going to be fighting. All these years, sinful people that have come against him and won't repent and everything is going to come up and think they're going to overcome him. It'll be the last battle that the sinful world, the Satan people that are worship and follow him, has come up to. They're going to think they're going to overthrow him. But he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he's going to do away with all sin and even cast the devil and all the false prophets into hell. My friend, it's time we got down right with God. We got to get into the scriptures and find out what's going on and know that for sure that these things are coming to pass. They're upon us. When the Acts of the Apostles spoke about it there, when Joel there said, in the last days, we're living in the last days, my friend. We're living closely. If you think that he spoke about the signs in the heavens and in earth and in the moon and in the stars and in the sun, we know that here in the past while we've seen all these solar flares that used to didn't even know nothing about it. How that they are saying the things and the signs in the heavens are being fulfilled. How NASA says that they've seen new stars being formed and stars being deformed and busted and blowing away and all. We used to didn't have all that, but these signs that Daniel was told to close up the book, but he said that there would come a time when knowledge would increase and things would be understandable. They're here, my friend. They're here upon us, and there's nothing that you and I can do. The only thing that we can do is repent. Be prepared for the day of the Lord, that when he comes, that he'll say, come up here. But them that are left behind ain't going to get in no big ship that somebody's written built by the riches of this world and escape the things that's going to come upon the land. For the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon the sinner and the ungodly, and even to Satan himself is going to be cast into hell along with all of the prophets, false prophets and teachers. And my friend, there's a lot of them running around in this world, and I'm telling you that the scriptures can't be broken. It's going to be as it is written, and you and I cannot change it. No one can change the fact that God has put it in concrete, you might say, that his word will be fulfilled to even to every dot of the I and the cross of the T. It will be fulfilled according to his word, and everything will be as he has put it into his word of God. We got to understand that he is God. He's sovereign. He don't need us, but we need him. You don't see the air that you breathe, but my friend, you can't live without it. You can't see the God that created the heavens and the earth by his word when the word became flesh. Then they looked upon the only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. The flesh of God was his son that he came in to die for yours and my sins. It's time we begin to realize and read the word of God and find out. These people that's going around now, that this year church is coming up, and they're going to worldwide church there. It's going to come up, and this worldwide government, it ain't going to be nothing but Satan controlled, my friend. It's time we begin to realize that God is sovereign. He's going to have his last say is going to be put it all in hell. And it's going to say, depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. So now it's time that we begin to realize that God is on the throne and he has control over everything. All this that you see presently is held up by his right arm. It's not just here by mere coincidence, as some of these idiots out there wants to say, that there was two elements that hit together in the midst of everything back there, and all we got what we got now by a great explosion. It was created by the Almighty God. When he looked out over it, and he said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let the dividing of the land and the sea and waters be divided. He said, let the vegetation grow. And he created everything by the word of his power and his health in reserve. My friend, today we'll read the scriptures. We'll find out that Jesus was the very essence of where it was created from. And we'll know that there is Lord, Lord, and God, God. He is the Lord of glory, the God of creation, and he will be the one that's going to appear in the clouds of glory. Not no two or three, and he's not going to come back with three heads. He's going to appear. Jesus Christ himself that came, he will appear in the clouds of glory and take his bride out. And when he comes back, he's going to appear on a horse. There, a white charging horse with his saints following him. And he's going to judge the world, and he's going to set it apart. The goats on one side and the sheep on the other. He'll say unto them, the sheep on his right hand, enter into the rest. But I want you to know, he's going to say unto the goats on his left hand, depart from me. It's time we realize, my friend, the Bible is not going to lie to you. I wouldn't lie to you intentionally, but I'm a man. I'm fallible, as any other man out there is preaching the word. But the thing of it is that Paul made say, I die daily. I repent daily. And everyone, that's what it's got. got to come to be. We're men. We're flesh. We're subject to fail, but God will never fail. But if we keep our lives straight with God and repent daily, die out to the flesh and the things of the world, and live as best we can in the flesh, as God would lead us to live in the flesh, that we will be able to meet Him in peace and hear Him say, "Well done." That's what I fight for. That's what I'm asking you to do. Meet Him in peace to where you'll say, "Well done, my faithful. Enter into thy rest." And it's going to come a time. It's going to come a time that we're going to enter into the rest of God. He rested on the seventh day. But many people won't rest in His day of salvation simply because they're running to fulfill the lust of the flesh. They won't rest in Christ Jesus because they fail to repent. They won't have that peace, the knowing that surpasses all of our understanding, knowing that we are in the sight of God. He holds us in His right hand of salvation. He's the one that paid the price for us. We got to believe this, else we'll die in our sins. We got to understand that He done it for you and I. He didn't have to, but He created man in His own image and His likeness. And when man messed up, failed to be obedient, and brought us into sin, He prepared a way. He prepared a lamb. You know that how the Old Testament tells you about the animals that were sacrificed and for this and different sacrifices that were made for different things. But the lamb that was spotted, unspotted, pure, and as a without blemish was the one that the high priest of that day offered up as a sacrifice for their sins. It didn't cleanse them. It didn't forgive them. It just pushed them back. But it had to be a lamb without spot or blemish. And when he sacrificed it, he took the blood that was in the basin there, and he carried it in behind the veil into the holiest of holiest. And he had to do it perfectly right, or elsewise he was a dead man if he stepped in behind that veil. But I want you to know that when he put that blood on the mercy seat of God between on the Ark of Covenant between the cherubims there, it was for the sins of the people to roll them back. And he would come out and take his hands and put it on an escape goat that was outside the cover, the walls there. And he'd send him out into the wilderness. See, Jesus came, yours and my escape goat. He bore our sins upon him, nailing them to the cross. He brought salvation through his blood. Not of the animals couldn't do it, my friend, but by the Lamb of God that was from the foundation of the world was slain. In the mind of God, he had it planned for yours and my benefit. Oh, my friend, be warned. The sword is coming. It's coming and it's upon us now. It's just about ready to swing, and it's going to come. And all that know not love God and his appearance and have not repented of their sins and got God in their life, been born again of the water and of the Spirit, is going to be sorrowful, but it's going to be too late. Them that was caught in the flood when Noah, when God went in and got Noah in the ark, said, "Come into the ark," they went in. The ark was 7 days. The door was open, but nobody went in. But when God shut the door, and the thunder and the lightning began to flash, and the thunder began to roar, and the water began to fall, they were sorry then. They cried out, "Noah, let us in." But it was too late, my friend. When the church is carried off, when them that are bride of Christ is carried up into the glory world, when Jesus comes in the clouds of glory, and then when them that see him rise up and they're going to go to crying out, "Lord, don't leave me, don't forsake me," it's going to be too late if you hadn't repented. If you missed that, my friend, you missed it all. Because the next time he comes, he's coming to do battle. Oh, my friend, he's going to come and put his foot on the Mount Olive. And when it caves in and makes the way there for that battle of army getting to come and destruction is going to come, and he's going to rain fire and brimstone down upon them that sinners and ungodly, them that fail to take heed to the word of God and repent, it's going to be a disaster. That's why he said the day of the Lord is gloomy, dark, and the sun will refuse to shine, and the moon and the stars shall fall, and the earth and the heavens will roll back like a scroll, and all these things happen. That's when he's going to come back on the white horse. When he comes in the clouds, as the scripture says, when he ascended there, when the men of Galilee, the apostles them stood there gazing at him as he went into the clouds, the angel stood and said, "Why gaze ye him? Why stand you gazing up into the sky? This same Jesus that you see go away is going to come in like manner." He's coming back, my friend, as he went away in the clouds of glory. And with all of the power and the glory of the living God, he's going to come and he's going to be born again of the water and of the Spirit and have the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God within you will break the bonds of gravitation of this earth and you can meet the Lord. But you're going to be changed. Them that are asleep in the dust of the earth, it's been there for a long time, is going to be changed from corruption to incorruption. Them that will be remain to be alive and remain shall be changed. They'll still be a mortal body, but they'll be changed from mortal to immortality. And there they'll be caught up to be with the Lord. But the dead in Christ are going to rise first. My friend, it's time we begin to believe what the scripture says because it's fastly coming to pass. We see that the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and being merry and doing whatever. All kinds of corruption was going on till it become a stink in the nostrils of God. And he says, therefore, as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating and drinking, being merry, doing all kinds of things, sinning of all kinds of things, an abomination in the sight of God. We're there, my friends. We're seeing it being fulfilled. If you can't see that, you better read your Bible and look real carefully and look and pray and seek after the kingdom of God with your whole heart. Understand that the word of God is going to be truth whether you like it or I like it or not. It's going to come to pass. But it's time as we got breath in the body and we have the opportunity to repent, come to the Lord for salvation, asking him to forgive us of our misery, of our sins, and our life as we have led in the flesh. Help us to live the life that he had chosen us to live, that we could be unblameable. My friend, it's time we come to the face-to-face with the reality. Come face-to-face with God and knowing that he is God and him only can save us from our sins. He is the one that purchased you on the cross of Calvary. You're not your own. You think maybe you are. You're your own man or you're your own woman, but you was paid. A price was paid for you at Calvary. The death of Jesus Christ, his body was bruised and broken, and by his stripes we're healed, and he died for you as he bought you there at Calvary. But if you're not mine to let him do for you as he has said, save you from your sins, you will die in your sins. And you'll be cast into outer darkness where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. You'll be cast into hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. And therefore, hell has enlarged itself that it may accommodate them that wants to go. Do you want to go to hell, my friend? The only escape you can have is through Jesus Christ. He's the only door. He's the only hope. If you don't have hope in him, then the only other place, only thing I can say, and if you don't have any hope in Jesus Christ and you accept his rules and his regulations, you might say, and his prophecy that he has told us and his way of life and repent, you're going to be as an intruder. You're going into hell as an intruder because it's enlarged itself in order to receive you if that's what you want to do. You don't have to. You don't have to go to hell. You can repent. But the thing of it is that sin's not going to enter the kingdom of God. Flesh and blood is not going to enter there. So you're going to have to be changed. You're going to have to put on incorruption. You're going to have to be incorruption. Mortal's going to have to be immortality because blood is not going to enter in and flesh is not going to enter into the kingdom of God. It's a thing that is God only can do for you and I. You can't do it for yourself. You couldn't save yourself. You couldn't die on the cross for yourself and shed your blood. It was satanic. Some people going around preaching that Jesus was created like every other man. Well, that's a lie out of hell, because if he had been, his blood would not have cleansed us from our unrighteousness, because it would have been tainted with the same sin of disobedience that Adam put us into sin. He would have been a fleshly man just like you and I. But he came, but the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He took yours and my sins upon him, obedient even to death on the cross, nailing yours and my sins with him that was nailed on the cross. He bore our sins and our iniquity, brought forth salvation, the cleansing power of salvation that came from that blood that was untainted with sin. He became like sin. He knew no sin, but he became sin for you and I, for our benefit, not for his. But because he loved you and I so much, he was willing to die for our sins and pay that ultimate price, the price at which could not be paid except by the shedding of blood. And he done everything that could be possibly done, that he done it for you and I, for our benefit, not for his. My friend, he done it for yours and my benefit. God didn't have to create the heavens and the earth and the fullness thereof, but he done it, and he put man on the face of the earth to serve him and where he can have fellowship with him. And the only way you can have fellowship with God is to repent, being born again of the water and of the Spirit, having that fellowship with him and with the other around and about you likewise. He said, forsake not the assembling together. But many people today would travel for miles and spend hundreds of dollars and spend it to go to a ball game or whatever, rather than go down the street to the church and gather in to the place there where you worship God in spirit and in truth. I know there's a lot of denominations out there that they go there for a gay old time, you might say. They go there and tickle your ears and fancy, but my friend, I'm not here to tickle your ears. I'm here to warn you that the sword is coming upon the land. Jesus is going to come and take his bride out, and when he comes again, if you're not prepared to be caught away in the bride, he's going to come again, and he's going to fight against the elements of this world and them that are therein, the devil and all his bunch. He's going to destroy and cast them all into hell. False prophets, teachers, and all them, all liars and whoremongers, all of them that are an abomination in the sight of God, is going to be cast into outer darkness, where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. So, as a watchman on the wall, I'm not standing on the wall, but my friend, it's like that. As other preachers are preaching, telling you to flee from the wrath to come, take heed, my friend. Read your Bible. Take warning, because it's up on us today. To flee from the wrath to come, and the only way you can do it is by repenting, accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That includes me, you, our friends, our loved ones, our mothers, our dads, whomever. It requires repentance, being godly sorrow. Turn from your sins and turn unto the Lord Jesus Christ, calling upon him. He said, I stand at the door knocking, that he that will open unto me, I will come in and sup with him, and he will be. If you don't open your heart's door, my friend, and I ain't speaking about that muscle in your chest. That we call the heart is medically is called the heart. It's like an oil pump in an automobile engine. It pumps the oil throughout the engine on the moving parts there to lubricate it, to keep it from burning up. This heart that I'm speaking about is in the mind, come to the renewing of your mind, the heart that goes out to God. Oh, my friend, choose today to whom you will serve, for tomorrow may be too late. You may put off today. Waiting till tomorrow be more convenient time. There's no going to be no more convenient time than for you today. Right. For the day is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. You and I may not see tomorrow, but it's coming to time. So be therefore warned, as Ezekiel told them and warned them. If you don't warn them, the blood will be on your hands. But if you warn them and they don't take heed to the warning, the blood will be on their own hands, my friend, as well as others have tried to warn you. It's up to you now. It's up to you. You've been warned. You've been told. There's much more that can go on. We're going to have a victory dance one day in the presence of God. A victory party is going to be given in the kingdom of God for them that love him and his appearance. Victory over sin and into salvation in the kingdom of God. May God bless you. Write to us when you can and when you will. But study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth, that God will be in your heart, that you will accept him as your personal Savior. Till next time, may God richly bless you, my friend. Keep praying, seeking God in his righteousness, where he indwelleth righteousness. May God bless you.
My fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear? The hour I first believed, my chains are